All right, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning, May 30th, 2024. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. Hope it's great wherever you are at. It is Thursday, almost the end of the week. I am off tomorrow. I don't know if I shared this. I took off Friday tomorrow because I thought tomorrow was Memorial Day weekend. I was wrong. It was last weekend. So I worked on the busiest day of the summer. Well, I shouldn't say that. One of the busier days. As far as traffic and all that stuff goes, I was like, let me not work on Memorial Day weekend, and that way my clients won't have to come down in the heart of the heavy traffic. And turns out I scheduled it a week late. So I am luckily off tomorrow. So I am working today, busy day today, but tomorrow I'm off. I'm actually going paddling again tomorrow, which is great. Glad. You know, I find that it is interesting, or I appreciate, or actually who has, I guess you don't have a choice. Well, I mean, we all have a choice, I suppose, but I appreciate people letting me share. I hope that people that listen to this podcast get to sit down with people and share, right? Share the shit. My buddy Matt used to say, everything we share gets cut in half. All the stress and anxiety, as long as we can share it with a human being, say it out of our mouth, it gets cut in half. And so when I get to sit on this podcast and share, right? And I said, thank you. I appreciate you for letting me share. I guess you do have the choice of turning this off. Maybe a lot have. But it definitely helps me. It definitely helps me to hear myself say it, right? To say it out loud, to expose the, you know, sometimes small, sometimes big, little, big problems that I'm going through. All real for me. You know, I wonder if I would have less problems if I didn't do this podcast, but, you know, I actually like to sit down and sort of share and be an example. I have a lot of people that have come up to me and said they enjoy the podcast, and I hope that it's, you know, for me or for other people, I hope it's just showing that if you do have issues, big or small, you know, grab a friend, right? Let somebody know. Air it out, get it out of your mind, put it out into the sunshine, and get a little disinfectant on it. And, you know, it does help. And like I said, I'm going to paddle this paddling tomorrow. And me talking about that whole thing that I went through the other day in paddling really helped me, right? You know, there was a point last week I was like, or not last week, the day, I guess the day or two after paddling, I was really like, you know, I was really annoyed. And when I said it out loud, right, that, you know, that I felt humiliated, right? And I wasn't humiliated. I was not, you know, I remember someone said, you humiliated me. And I go, never, right? We humiliate ourselves, right? The only thing that person said to me the other day was, I think you can do better and this is how. And I was like, I do not think I can and I don't care how and I'm going to be offended. And I didn't say any of that out loud, but that's how I felt inside, right? And so this person, you know, did nothing to me, right? Everything that happens to me is in my control, unless it's, you know, physical, right? Someone runs you over. Well, that son of a bitch did run me over. But, you know, when it's a comment, it's really about how I take it. And for some reason in that moment, I was bothered, right? And it was offended. I say offended. I don't even think I was offended. I was embarrassed, I guess, right? I guess somebody, because in my mind, paddling all summer and all last year, I feel like I'm at a pretty good place in paddling. I'm really digging in. And to sort of be called out in the middle of, to me, one of my finest moments, right? My greatest moments, to be called out and said, you are not great. You need work. It was a thing. So it was, but it's nice to talk about it because now I can hear myself and say, you know, all this angst and stress you're going through, Tom, is your own fault because the person did nothing but try to help you. So putting all that aside, right, I woke up yesterday. I'm like, you know, I need to do better, right? And one of the things that she had said to me is I needed a new paddle. And this is sort of funny. I had had this, my coach Dave gave me this old paddle, right? It's a steering paddle, really. It's this big wooden clunky paddle. And it's a nice paddle, but it's not, you know, we've come a long way in paddles, right? And he's like, this will do for now until you can afford to buy a better paddle, because paddles are not cheap. So I was like, yeah, that's fine. And the bigger and clunkier it is, I started to kind of create this narrative in my head, like this new kid coming in, having to use this old paddle, right? But it's still doing really well. And it's all still this ego shit, right? I don't even have any, I guess I'm sort of aware of it, but I didn't really figure the severity of the ego until, you know, someone tells me, you need to get rid of that piece of shit paddle and get a better paddle because you're clunking and you're sloppy and that thing's heavy. And I was like, oh, I can't believe you'd say that about me and my paddle, right? And so there was this whole story that's kind of been building up, and it's not even an important story, but it led me to this point yesterday where I finally said, you know what, maybe it's time. I need to buy a new paddle. The sad, pathetic paddle guy story is over. Get with the freaking program. That paddle is too old and too clunky, and it's time to do better. So I swallowed my pride yesterday, and I started looking at a new paddle, and I'm going to try to get a new paddle, something a little lighter, and try to be more efficient. And I did share that, you know, I was feeling a little fat. I'm starting to feel better. I do feel like I'm paddling tomorrow. I'm ready to try. I put my ego aside and I'm ready to try to implement some of these new things that were suggested for me. Nothing unique about me. These are all simple techniques that every paddler uses, but I need to start trying to use them. And, I'm just going to put all that aside. Remind myself, Tom, you are still a work in progress. Check that ego. Find some humility, because, you know, I love paddling and I don't want to quit. If I've ever used that song, but man, it's a great song. I remember that song, that band brings back some memories, man, of my love for the neighbor across the street. I was a little kid Well, I was probably 15, and she liked Loverboy, so I like Loverboy. Awesome song. Great time to be alive. Great time to be alive today, man. I'm super, super grateful to be sober today. What's going on here? Get some problems. Sorry. Yeah. So, you know, to put a cap on that thing, it is, it's been a fun, it's been interesting or a great reminder, but, you know, I still want to hang in there. So I still want to get better. So I'm going to, make some adjustments and see if I can get better and keep doing what I like doing as far as out in the ocean. And, hopefully I can get a cool paddle. We'll see. But yeah, it is Thursday. So Wednesday yesterday went to my home group meeting. It was fantastic. My buddy Bobby celebrated 11 years and, man, what a freaking turnout. I was like, you know, this is that other side of that door, right? This is that, you know, when it talks about in the third step, you know, jumping through the door is easier than we think. And I shared with him, I said, you know, this is what's on the other side of the door. This is, you know, that other side, the life we lived before, right? And he shared his story and he talked about that life, right? The life he lived on the other side of the door in the room before where I'm very familiar with. And it seems absolutely impossible to go from that life to a new life or not even realizing what a new life would even be. And the amount of people that were at that meeting last night just is a great representation of what an actually really great guy that he is. And, you know, he never says no. He helps everybody, which is always surprising because that's the way I'd like to be, right? I unfortunately still work, right? But I hope that when I retire and have more time on my hands that I can be more of help to people, more of service. But he is, and he's awesome. I am a big fan of this guy, and I am a big fan of his program, and I'm a big fan of the evolution of his program because he is that, and I talk about him all the time because he, to me, is that guy that's, you know, that's evolving in sobriety, evolving into serenity, and not doing it because he has to, doing it because he wants to. And I've shared before many times, I think, in this podcast. In fact, early on, my relationship with him my relationship with this guy has always been great, but my love of his message was not. And his message used to be that he did not need this program. He'd had the burning bush, right? He shared that he had had a dream. What am I getting all these texts about? He had had a dream about the burning bush sort of situation, and he woke up afraid and went to rehab and just didn't want to drink again. And he used to say, I don't even think I need these steps, right? I don't know why I need these steps. I feel fine. But he also went to like two meetings a day, 7 days a week, you know, and it's pretty clear by the amount of friends that Bobby has, you know, how many meetings he goes to. I mean, I do believe the amount of friends and relationships that we have in this program is a direct effect of how many meetings that we go to. And if you have a person that doesn't go to many meetings, you don't make many friends, right? Unless you are just at a next level personality, like my other buddy. You know, he's a big name in the town. So, you know, wherever he goes, people follow and he gets good following. And I don't think he needs to go to as many meetings to have a great turnout. Whatever. The point is, I guess for me, is that, you know, my buddy Bobby does a lot of meetings and it shows in his relationships that he has with sober people, which is awesome. But like I said, he was that guy. He didn't need the steps. I have to be careful. I found this piece of Velcro. And I went back to listen to the podcast yesterday and you can hear me fucking around with Velcro. So I'm going to put it down. Go away, Velcro. But, you know, you could, you know, he was the guy that's used to say he didn't need the steps. But over time, right, it starts to, you know, there's more to this. And unfortunately, sobriety won't keep us sober. It may keep us from drinking, but it doesn't. Sobriety, just being free of not drinking, obviously is pleasant, right? But it doesn't allow us just to get to the next level, that serenity. And the only way, I'll be the one to say it, right? The only way, and I actually said this last night, I said, I really think to even stay sober without picking up a drink after a long period of time are the steps. I don't think just stopping drinking and going to meetings will save you. Having said that, it might. I don't know, right? I'm pretty sure just from the time that I've been working in this program and coming to meetings, the amount of people that I've seen come in. Now, of course, people do move. They could move away and have success somewhere else. But 9 out of 10 come in, stay a while, do not want to work the steps, or do not want to work the steps to a level that keeps us sober and headed towards serenity. And eventually they go back out. Now, I don't know if they all drink, but I probably would, and I did. Right, I came into this program, I did not work the steps correctly, and I drank after 5 years. And 5 years is that sweet spot, right? You feel like, yeah, I've done something. I can't believe I stayed sober 5 years. 5 years later, man, you're just like, you're available. You're available to suggestions by the devil. And that's exactly what's happened to me, and it happens to a lot of people. And my buddy Bobby got to that place, and he just kept saying, I don't think I really need these steps, right? And I remember going up to him and I said, you know, if you don't need the steps, that's fine, but save the message, right? You don't need to tell that. If that's what you want to do, that's fine. But really the idea is we do need these steps. You might, but the rest of us do. And so it's a terrible message, right? Especially for newcomers. And I think one of the things about my friend is that he was sort of hanging around people that didn't need the steps either, right? And I've had confrontations with one of these guys, right? I've shared about it in this podcast, right? Telling me I think I was a guru, right? And I'm like, dude, if you don't work the steps, anybody that has worked the steps seems like a guru, right? And the fact that you haven't worked the steps is obvious because you wouldn't, if you had worked the steps, you wouldn't be saying anything to me at all, period, right? Like whenever I want to say something where my ego or, you know, my brilliant mind thinks it's a great idea, you know, humility steps in and goes, regardless, it isn't important that you say anything because what other people doing is not my business. Right. And the only reason I ever said anything to Bobby was just out of conversation, only because, you know, I'm always rooting for people to work these steps, right? I'm always rooting for people to find that serenity. Right, I'm always rooting for people to find that place where they can go, where it becomes less likely to pick up a drink. Because serenity will keep us sober. Sobriety will not. Sobriety will not. And I'm just, you know, and I remember him coming up to me and saying, you know, I don't know what's going on, but there's something happening. And he started to dive into these steps. He read Drop the Rock. And he told me last night, you know, I gave him a hug. I'm like, man, I'm really proud of you, right? You are that guy. You're the guy that's evolving from the guy that, you know, probably never even thought he had a drinking problem. He's, you know, he's funny. He's like, you know, my wife never yelled at me. He never had, he's not the typical story of the alcoholic. I'm always amazed when a guy is even married for 25 years or 30 years, right? During the whole time while he's drinking, like I couldn't keep a friend. I couldn't keep a neighbor friend in my drinking, right? And I'm much less a wife. And so I'm just amazed that there's these guys out there that have had these situations where they've lived through these relationships, had kids, put their kids through college, gone through all that, right? While drinking. Blows me away. But he's that guy and you know, didn't really need to get sober, but he did it anyway. And I think he started to sort of lose his mind at the end, and I think that's what scared him and forced him or, you know, gave him the idea to get sober, and I think he was okay with that. But there is more. And, you know, I would share this sort of new love because I have been going through the spiritual awakening. I know it's crazy, but over time, you know, when he has 11 years, you know, I would imagine around 11 years, you know, we start to, you know, experience something new. And I've been going through it, and it's been a real revelation for me. Really, I mean, all the wonderful things happening were none of the reasons why I came into this program. I said last night, you know, at some point we have to be here because we stop being afraid of drinking and we start loving sobriety and serenity, right? We start, you know, kiss that freaking anchor goodbye of the drinking and start realizing there is more to life and it is available to us if we want it. And I started to want it, right? And I started to use these steps and clean everything out. This, you know, my spirituality and my, you know, the physical and the emotional, all that stuff through these steps, started clearing it out, right? I started to get an understanding of spiritual awakening years ago because, but it comes slowly, right? It comes in pieces, right? I've shared the story about the Corvette. You know, I had this whole thing like, you know, I can't have spirituality if I can't get to the keys because they're covered with boxes, and on the boxes are all of the character defects that I suffer from. And I don't even mean character. I mean, just like fear, really fear. You know, all of the stuff that falls under the umbrella of fear. And then I'm like, well, so spiritual awakening isn't really something that physically or that actually comes to us. It's something we already have. It's just a bunch of other shit that's not allowing us to get to it. And I remember having that, you know, revelation. I'm like, holy shit, right? This isn't, you know, serenity, love, peace isn't something that we find. It's a byproduct of good living and good hard work. It starts to be this spiritual awakening, and he started having it, you know, and I started talking about it, and he started listening. He started becoming curious. Is there more to this? What is this? And he said last night, I didn't realize how much I was surrounded in fear. You know, it says in the book, that's what got us drunk, right? Fear. And I've gone over that several times. You know, I didn't think it was that scary, but looking back, peeling it back, I realized fear was definitely the reason I started drinking. The problem is if we don't use these steps to address the fear and to, you know, put some light on the fear and get rid of the fear and understand why there's fear and understand how much fear is involved in everything that we do and start to get rid of it, that fear brought us into drinking, and it will fucking bring us back to drinking. So that's the issue, how to get rid of fear, right? But it takes humility, right? It takes surrender, right? You can't be, like I said, you got to be here. I had to start being here because I love serenity and less because of I'm afraid of drinking, right? I don't want fear in my life, and I don't have to have it. It comes and goes, right? This weekend was fear. You know, I look at back and that lady saying, you know, you need to get better. All of a sudden, the fear is back. The fear is that I'm not as good as I thought I was, right? Because in my mind, I'm really good. And I will say, I watched the video back of us paddling that day. I had a lot of power. I was definitely powerful, but I don't think that that kind of power is sustainable unless I adjust my form. Right, I'm using my arms too much. I'm using my shoulders. It's really about body rotation, turn, torque. Right, and I'm doing it. Right, I'm getting through sobriety. But unless I take the suggestions on how to be better, I won't be able to paddle as long. It's just everything is it's all fucking same thing, man. You know, recovery, paddling, all of it. If I do not take the suggestions that my coach gave me on Sunday and adjust how I paddle, the way I paddle, and the tools that I paddle with, I'll quit paddling. If I do not listen to what my sponsor said, use the tools that have been given to me, the suggestions, find the humility, and go through it the way that the people before me have had to go through these steps, if I don't do all that, I'll quit and drink. Same thing. And the only thing that comes between that happening is ego. It happens in this program. You'll say, fuck it. You know, when someone calls you out, you know, I had a guy come up to me. Well, the other thing I was wanting to say last night that was said was, and Bobby said it in his share, he goes, he was talking about shortcomings. You know, shortcomings to me and character defects are the only thing that can bring me back into that place of fear, that place of letting go of the hand of God. And he was talking about, you know, character defects because he, you know, dropped the rock. The book dropped the rock. If you haven't read it, you should read it. It's not AA approved, but I don't know. It's one of the greatest books I ever read. But it talks about, you know, the role of character defects and shortcomings. And he said, and other people have said this, and I think he heard it, and so he's repeating it now. And I said, that isn't true, but he said that he thought that shortcomings and character defects were the same thing. I have a friend that runs another meeting. He says that all the time. I think character defects and shortcomings are the same thing. It's just Bill W. didn't want to change, didn't want to use new words or something like that. That's not, I don't think that's true. I think that's a bad thinking right there. And I said it last night. I said, I do not think that is true. You know, shortcomings, I think, are what keeps us sick. You know, if you, and I shared last night, I go, stealing cars is a character defect. Stealing free Wawa sugar packets is a shortcoming. And that's what I believe. I live this. I live it now, right? There are so many things I used to do back in the day that I don't do anymore, right? But can I still think about it, right? Do I have to, you know, one of the things that I think a lot of people, especially today with technology and phones, is, you know, we have so much access to people, right? And, you know, we're on Instagram and we're on Facebook and we build relationships and friends. And you can actually be married, you know, have a relationship, but see these women or men, right? Whatever it is. And, you know, you have to be careful, right? You have to, you know, in the past, you know, in my past, you know, I could say, you know, hey, girl, how's it going, right? Maybe there's some ill will. Who knows, right? I'm better, right? But in the past, right, we've all, hopefully, I shouldn't say that. I have experienced times where I have thought to myself that it was appropriate to say something to somebody through, like, Facebook or something. And maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. But as soon as I said it, I'm like, uh-oh, right? Uh-oh. And, you know, you don't want to be like that, right? These are the little secret things that can keep us afraid, right? Like, I'll be on, you know, I have friends on Facebook, and I'll see them, and I'm like, God, you know, she looks pretty. Maybe I'll just say, hey, man, you look great today. You know, smiley face. Probably not a good idea, right? As soon as I say something, because, like, calling her up and say, hey, you know, you want to hang out? Even though I'm married would be completely inappropriate. We would never want to do that, right? We know better than that. But can we say, hey, you look great today, you know? And as soon as you say it, are you concerned? Like, does fear come creeping back in? Shortcomings, man, they're really dangerous, because I feel like those are the little things that sort of allow us to keep doing the behaviors that we used to do, but they're just not so severe that they can slide under the door, right? They can still slip under the door because they're not obvious, right? We're not stealing a car is a bad character defect. You should not steal. That is terrible. But when you steal the Wawa sugar packets, they're free, right? But they're free to use for when you're making coffee. They're not free to take home. And, you know, my buddy Matt used to say, this is a step where we stop stealing the Wawa sugar packets. And I agree, right? This is those little shortcomings, those little, just where we're falling for the last 5, 4, 3, 2% of getting better can still keep us sick. Because in the end, you know, when we start to go through the spiritual awakening, when we start to find this freedom of fear, we start realizing what's keeping me from having it. And it's those things. It's the shortcomings, the little things, right? You know, taking a dollar, right? Or whatever it is. Whatever it is we used to do, get rid of it, but leave 1% and keep doing it. That's the kind of shit that keeps us sick. And, you know, we got to be careful, right? We got to be careful. So I personally do not feel that they are the same. I feel there is a difference, and we have to be careful. What's time? I think I actually got to go. Let me see. Oh shit. Okay. Yeah. So anyway, my buddy Bobby, he celebrated 11 years. Congrats to him. Yeah, just hang in there. You know, the cool thing is it's about 11 years, man. And I told him, this is one of those things. You just got to keep going, right? You go to a meeting, you have moments you think you're killing it. And then you have moments you want to quit. Then you have moments that you're killing it. And you have moments that you want to quit. And then you have moments that you help people. And then you get helped. And it just continues to evolve, right? And we learn and we pick up things and we have moments and we get embarrassed and we say shit that we shouldn't have said. And then we, you know, grow through it. And we just, it's just evolving, right? And then over time, we start to see it. And over time, we start living it. And it just gets better. And then we start to have that spiritual awakening. And it's just phenomenal, right? You can't have it in the first year. You can't. You can't have it in the second year. You can't. They say it is. Maybe you can. I don't know. But I'm pretty much sure. I don't think we deserve it. We don't deserve a spiritual awakening that soon. God makes you pay for it. And the paying is to doing the work. And that is very important. All right. Shit. Running out of time. Let me read the daily reflections. And then I will go. I got to go to work. I'm off tomorrow, though. Yay. All right. Yay. I should probably be working, but whatever. Okay, our primary purpose, May 30th. The more AA sticks to its primary purpose, the greater will be its helpful influence everywhere. That's right. AA Comes of Age, page 109. It is with gratitude that I reflect on the early days of our fellowship and those wise and loving four steppers, who proclaim that we should not be diverted from our primary purpose, that of carrying the message to the alcoholic who still suffers. I desire to impart respect to those who labor in the field of alcoholism. Being ever mindful of AA endorses no causes other than its own. I must remember that AA has no monopoly on miracle making. I remain humbly grateful to a loving God who made AA possible. That's right. Yep. All right. Well, I spoke too long. I hope everyone has a great day. You know, work on our shortcomings. don't send the text, right? Don't have the thought. Don't take the sugar, you know, because it is weird, but those things keep us in fear, right? Those things keep us sick. And, you know, don't drink. Have a sponsor. Talk to everybody. And I hope everyone has a great day. Yeah. Hope everyone has a great day. Later. Bye.